Shall we stand? I want to read some out of the ninth chapter of Mosiah. On page 260, beginning with the 52nd verse. And he commanded them that they should teach nothing save it were the things which he had taught, which were and which had been spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets. Yea, even he commanded them that they should preach nothing save it were repentance and faith on the Lord, who had redeemed his people. And he commanded them that they should be no contention one with another, but they should look forward with one eye, having one faith, one baptism, having their hearts knit together in unity and in love, one toward another. And he commanded them to preach, and thus they become the children of God. And he commanded them that they should observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and also every day they should give thanks unto the Lord their God. Now, these aren't things that are too foreign to us. We all believe this type of thing. But here he commanded them to preach nothing except repentance. But we know that when you do preach repentance, you've got to cover a lot of other things to go with it. And I want to read a few verses over in Moroni in the on page 761. And he gives us some more instructions here. This is the third chapter, and I'll read the whole chapter here. There's only three verses. The manner which the disciples who were called the elders of the church ordained priests and teachers, after they had prayed unto the Father in the name of Christ, they laid their hands upon them and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ordain you to be a priest, or if that were a teacher, I ordain you to be a teacher, to preach repentance and remission of sins through Christ Jesus, and by endurance of faith on his name to the end. And after this manner did they ordain priests and teachers according to the gifts and callings of God unto men. And they ordained them by the power of the Holy Ghost which was in them. Again, he's mentioned these young men, well, maybe not so young, but the newly ordained ministry here, that preaching repentance is very important. And we all know that people must repent of something that they have done wrong. So I want to read a little bit of Out of Alma here, and then in the 17th chapter of Alma. I believe I'll begin over here on page 441. I'll read the beginning of 65. Maybe we should go back a verse or two here. 63. For behold, they murdered the prophets of the Lord who came among them to declare unto them concerning their iniquities, and the blood of those who they had murdered did cry unto the Lord their God for vengeance upon those who were their murderers. And thus the judgment of God did come upon those workers of darkness and secret combinations. Yea, and he caused, and he cursed, and he caught, and he cursed cursed be the land forever and ever unto those workers of darkness and circuit combinations, even unto the destruction, unto destruction, except they repent before they are fully ripe. Notice here that the Lord has given a way for these people to return if they are willing to do this. And now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not these secret plans unto the people, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. And this is very important, that we do stand against sin and iniquity. And we see this abounding so much today. It is put before us in our magazines, our newspapers. If we go to a theater, a good many of the pictures aren't fit to go see. And it's put before us on television. And when we visit with people, we hear them talking language and in a manner that wouldn't be pleasing unto the Lord. And doing things that aren't pleasing unto the Lord. But here he says in the 61st verse, preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Now this is pretty important, isn't it? That we're going to be meek and lowly in heart and to be humble. It's not lifted up into pride, as many times these people were, and the people of today are also. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil. Now this is one of the most important things. Teach them to withstand the temptation of the devil. Now if we can do that, and we repent of what we've done and follow after the Lord, we're in pretty good shape. But if we can say, but teach them to withstand the temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, teach them to never be weary of good works. And we've heard people say, well, I've done enough. That's all I'm going to do for this person. But says, teach them never to be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest for their souls. Now that's a pretty good promise, isn't it? And that's what we're working toward. Remember, O my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God, yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. I've used this fairly recently, probably in the last 6 months anyway, and I am sure that some of the other ministry here have. I know that they've read this, but it's so important to learn these things in your youth. There is churches that says, if we give me a child, I think he's till he's 5 or 7, I forget which it is, and he will be mine all of his life. But they've got them. If you can get them that young and teach them in the ways that you want them to be taught. So it's very important that in the youth that we can instill in them a desire to keep these commandments. And I don't know when you start teaching them. I think as soon as they can talk and see. And I think that before they're aware of anything, our love toward them and our love toward each other, I think they see these things and notice them. So they, if we have these things abound in our homes, if we have humility, kindness, all of these things are going to be made known unto these little ones. They will know this even before they can talk and walk. Because I'm sure that the Lord has made it to where they can appreciate these things in their little souls. So we have a great deal of responsibility to direct the youth as well as the older people. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thine heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Now, if we seek the Lord and pray about it, sometimes we'll say, well, he didn't give me any answer. But it's surprising how many times when we pray that we go do the right thing. Now, he may have not given us an answer, but we were directed in what to do. And maybe we weren't hardly aware of it, but we've done that which was right. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord. Would you say that probably meant to have a prayer before you went to bed? That he may watch over you in your sleep, and when you rise in the morning, let your heart be full of thanks unto God. Now, if you have your heart full of thanks, wouldn't you say that might be a prayer in the morning? And we give thanks over our food and so on. And if you do all these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. Quite the promises here. But how important it is that we do seek repentance for what we have done wrong. And I wrote a few things down here that repentance is to amend or resolve to amend our lives. To feel regret for what one has done or omitted to do. This is what repentance is. Now, true repentance, you know, a lot of people, I think, that they are sorry they get caught or they're found out, but they don't repent. They're only sorry that they have gotten caught. But true repentance is being sorry that we have done something and to put forth that effort never to do these things again. I want to read a little out of Alma here in the second chapter of Alma. Beginning with the 7th verse here. And as I read these scriptures, I see so many times how history repeats itself. Things go over and over and over again. And they shouldn't have to do that. And thus ended the 7th year of the reign of the judges over the people. And the Nephites people of Nephi. And there was continual peace in all that time. Now, I'd like to stop right there, but let's read on a little further. And it came to pass in the 8th year of the reign of the judges that the people of the church began to wax proud. Now, that's being lifted up into pride, isn't it? Things that aren't too good. Because their exceeding riches and their fine silks and their fine twined linens, and because of their many flocks and herds and their gold and their silver and all manner of precious things which they had obtained by their industry. Now, Marvin mentioned this morning, you know, there's nothing wrong with having money and or even skiing or whatever we might do. There's nothing wrong with these things. But when we, what did they say here? And the church began to wax proud. Then that's the sin. This is what happens. Many people cannot stand prosperity. If they're too prosperous, they fall away. They find other things to do. But we should continually seek the Lord. In all these things were they lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and they began to wear very costly apparel. Now this was the cause of much affliction to Alma, yea, and to many other people whom Alma had consecrated to be teachers and priests and elders over the church. Now if we've seen this happening, it would cause great distress. Yea, many of them were sorely grieved for the wickedness which they saw had begun to be among the people, for they saw and beheld with great sorrow that the people of the church began to be lifted up in pride of their eyes and set their hearts upon riches and upon vain things of the world. See, this is the thing. They started to set their hearts on vain things of the world. And we can see, especially if we travel to the West and go to Nevada, we can see some of those vain things. How many thousands and tens of thousands of people go out there to play and to gamble and to participate in many things that we wouldn't desire to be found in our lives. Vain things of the world, that they began to be sorrowful, that they began to be scornful one toward another, and they began to persecute those that did not believe according to their own will and pleasure. And thus, in the 8th year of the reign of the judges, there began to be great contention among the people of the church. And mind you, here in this 7th year, they had complete harmony and peace. Why would people turn from that to wickedness? I don't really know. Yea, they were envies and strifes and malice and persecutions and pride, even to exceed the pride of those who did not belong to the church of God. This is in the church. Now this entered into the church, and it was as bad or worse than those who weren't supposed to have anything. And thus ended the 8th year of the reign of the judges. And the wickedness of the church was a great stumbling block to those who did not belong to the church. And thus the church began to fail in its progress. And it came to pass in the commencement of the 9th year, Alma saw the wickedness of the church. And he saw also that except that the example of the church began to lead those who were unbelievers on from one place one piece of iniquity to another, thus bringing on the destruction of the people. Yea, he saw a great iniquity among the people. Some lifted themselves up in the pride, despising others, turning their backs upon the needy and the naked, and those who were hungry, and those who were athirst, and those who were sick and afflicted. Now this is the type of thing that began to take place because of their wickedness. Now this was a great cause of lamentation among the people, while others were abasing themselves, succoring those who stood in need of their succor, such as imparting their substance to the poor and the needy, feeding the hungry, and suffering all manner of affliction for Christ's sake, who should come according to the spirit of prophecy, looking forward to that day, thus retaining a remission of their sins, being filled with great joy because of the resurrection of the dead, according to the will and the power and the deliverance of Jesus Christ from the bands of death. Now there were some people that were remaining faithful. And here, at the same time, in just this 2-year period, so many people have turned totally away from it. But there was a small group of people that did remain. And we want to always be in this group. Sorry to say, it is fairly small. But when we are in this group, we can have so much more joy and happiness than those that are on the outside. They think they have happiness, and they think they have joy, but they don't really know what it is. When we have humble people like this group here in the, it's mentioned in the 20th and 21st verse, there wouldn't be gossip among them. There wouldn't be backbiting. There wouldn't be contention. But over here, these people that turned away, all those things would be amongst them. And to give them cause later on to be sorrowful for what they had done. Because when life is ended, they can't turn back. They have set the way they are going to go, and if they don't turn, they're going to be found on the other side, and they're not going to be too happy about it. But it's so important that as a church that we do help other people, and that we do walk uprightly, and we set a good example before those round about us. And as we well know, some people go to church on Sunday and then they live as they want the rest of the week. Some people don't go to church at all on Sunday and they live the way they want to and don't keep the commandments. In the 16th chapter of Alma, I want to read a few verses. Beginning with verse 218. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye may begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that ye begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. And these next few verses, I believe have been read to us fairly recently, but they're so good, this 19th and 20th and 21st verses along in here. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Indicating that we should be a very prayerful people. And I know that as we sit down to eat in the morning and at noon and evening, that we do offer prayers. And we are thankful for what the Lord has given unto us. And at those times during the day, we can ask for strength and blessings for others and for guidance for ourselves. But that's three times a day. And I'm sure that many times besides this, we're going to seek the Lord at different times. There is a time when we are about our tasks, we could be having problems, and we can seek the Lord, and He will hear our prayers. And I am almost ashamed to admit the number of times that I've called on the Lord. I guess I shouldn't be, and asked Him to help me find something. And I know all of us have done that. And it's a miracle, because He so many times has directed me. In a few moments, I found what I was looking for. Very small things sometimes, and sometimes fairly great. It's something you really needed, and you couldn't do without, or it would have been very difficult to do without it further that day. And He has shown me where these things were, and I'm sure that every one of you have had this happen. And sometimes I often think of it, I've lost something, and I think, well, I shouldn't really bother the Lord with such a small thing. But I think that this is good to go ahead and seek Him and let Him help us, for He has done this so many times. Yea, cry unto Him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto Him against the devil. And we should do this. We've got to be strong to withstand the temptations of the devil. And if all of our strength we have, I don't believe we could do it if we don't seek the Lord. Who is the enemy of all righteousness? Cry unto Him over your crops of your field, that you may prosper in them. So here He says to prosper in them. So there's nothing wrong with prospering. I think if this is the only thing we set on is prosper, I think it's wrong. But I think that we should ask the Lord to bless us that we might prosper, because then we can help others. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and in your secret places and in your wildernesses. And how many times have you done this driving down the highway on a trip and you sought the Lord and His direction on things that was very heavy upon your minds? And we can do this wherever we're at. Yea, and when ye do not cry unto the Lord, let your heart be full, drawn out in prayer unto Him continually, for your welfare and for the welfare of those who are around you. And now behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all, for after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and the afflicted, and in part of your substance, if ye have, to those that stand in need, I say unto you, if ye do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain. Now, if we haven't anything to give, we cannot give it. But if it is possible, we should help those that stand in need. Here it says, if you don't do these things, your prayer is vain and availeth you nothing. And ye are as hypocrites who doth deny the faith. Therefore, if ye do not remember to be charitable, ye are as dross, which the refiner casts out, it being of no worth, and is trodden under the foot of men. So that is something that can happen if we don't have charity in our hearts. And as here mentioned, visiting the sick and the afflicted. And I'm sure that I've been neglectful of this at times. That we don't go see the sick and the afflicted and look after the welfare of those that do stand in need. But we should strive to do this. I want to read a little bit out of Timothy. Second Timothy in the second chapter. And this whole chapter is pretty good, but I'm just going to read these two verses, the 15th and 16th verses. And many of you, I'm sure, can quote them. And it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly divideth the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." We've got to be humble and meek, and we've got to study. And we shouldn't contend one with another over the gospel. We can discuss it, but we shouldn't be of a contentious nature when we do it. But we must seek Him often. We must study so that we will understand more of His Word. I want to read a little bit out of Mormon on page 708. Beginning with verse 46. "Behold, I speak unto you as if ye were present, and yet ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ has shown you unto me, and I know your doing, and I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts. And there are none, save a few only, who do not lift themselves up in pride of their hearts, unto wearing of very fine apparel, unto envying and strifes and malice and persecutions and all manner of iniquity. And your churches, yea, even every one, have become polluted because of the pride of your hearts." Now, do you think that could fit into the society today? I'm sure there's some churches that aren't totally lifted up under pride, but many we see that are. There's a church down near the college that's going to do a little rebuilding. They're only going to spend $500,000 to remodel our church, which I can't say is bad or good. It doesn't even have an actual parking place that it owns. But yet, it is set there, and they are able to spend $500,000 on a church to remodel it. And this happens to be the same church that a few years ago provided a place that the men could play poker in the basement so they wouldn't have to go out in the world to play poker. And they could serve their drinks there without being out in the world. And I couldn't say those people are lifted up into pride, but I would say they are somewhat misguided. "For behold, ye do love money, and your substance, and your fine apparel, and adorning of your churches, more than ye love the poor, and the needy, and the sick, and the afflicted. O ye pollutions, ye hypocrites, ye teachers, who sell yourselves for that which will canker, why have ye polluted the holy church of God? Why are ye ashamed to take upon you the name of Christ?" You know, some people don't really want to be associated or know that they have anything to do with Christ. They won't admit it. They want to turn their back on it. "And why do you not think that greater is the value of an endless happiness than that misery which never dies because of the praise of the world? Why do you adorn yourselves with that which hath no life, yet ye suffer the hungry and the needy and the naked and the sick and the afflicted to pass by you and notice them not?" And we know this is happening in the world today. Notice how many places they mention this type of thing through the scripture. It must be pretty important. Because I've read several here, and we could go through the scripture and we could find a lot more where people have turned their back on their fellow men. Why do you build up your secret abominations to get gain, and it caused the widows, and caused that the widows should mourn before the Lord, and also the orphans to mourn before the Lord, and also the blood of their fathers and their husbands to cry unto the Lord from the ground for vengeance upon their heads. Behold, the sword of vengeance hangeth over you, and the time soon cometh that he avengeth the blood of the saints upon you. For he will not suffer their cries any longer. And sometime this is going to come forth, it is going to happen. And those that have not kept his commandments and done these little simple things that he wants us to do, it's not going to be too well with them. I want to go back into the first chapter of Mosiah. Beginning with the 79th verse. And now I say unto you, my brethren, that after ye have known and have been taught all these things, if ye should transgress and go contrary to that which has been spoken, that ye do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of the Lord, that it may have no place in you to guide you in wisdom's path, that ye may be blessed, prospered, and preserved. I say unto you, that the man that doth this, the same cometh out in open rebellion against God. Therefore, he listeth to obey the evil spirit, and becometh an enemy to all righteousness. Therefore, the Lord has no place in him, for he dwelleth not in holy temples. Therefore, if that man repenteth not, and remaineth, and dieth an enemy to God, the demands of divine justice doth awaken his immortal soul to a lively sense of his own guilt. Now he is going to be aroused, and he's going to know of his own guilt. That's what's going to happen to him, which doth cause him to shrink from the presence of the Lord, and doth fill his breast with guilt and pain and anguish, which is like an unquenchable fire, whose flames ascendeth up forever and ever. Not too pleasant, is it? But this doesn't need to happen. All we've got to do is some of these other little simple things that he has asked us to do, that we might have joy right now and have eternal life. And now I say unto you, that mercy hath no claim on that man. Therefore, his final doom is to endure a never-ending torment. O all ye old men, and also ye young men, and ye little children who can understand my words, for I have spoken plain unto you, that ye might understand. I pray that ye should awaken to the remembrance of the awful situation of those that have fallen into transgression. And moreover, I would desire that ye should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. Now there you see we're starting to get a little happy part of it. This is what we should consider, how joyful that is. And how many people could avail themselves to it. But many people don't turn to it. They turn away from it. I know Harold Ford and me was riding down the road yesterday, and I forget what came up. We'd seen something or something. Anyway, he mentioned how foolish it was for wealthy people that had a chance to have virtually anything they wanted to turn to alcohol and to drugs. Right now, they are tormenting themselves and ruining their lives. Why should a person that has virtually or is able to buy anything of the world that they want, why would they turn to things that would destroy their minds, ruin their health, and cause total unhappiness? It is really a mystery. They surely haven't read these words. They surely don't know of what real happiness is. We can find many of these people that have committed suicide. They were wealthy and seemed to have everything that they wanted, yet they did not have happiness. And they would turn to things that would destroy their lives, cause torment unto them, to where they didn't have good judgment. I cannot understand this. But I would desire that you consider the blessed and happy state of those who keep the commandments of God. How much nicer this is. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, and thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. Oh, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God hath spoken it. What a wonderful promise to us. And yet, why will people not listen to these words? Why will people not seek out true happiness? Yet people will spend fortunes for things that will ruin their lives, make them unhappy. And they don't turn to these things that they can have joy. It's very sad. And it is our duty always to pray for these people. I realize that there's not many of them going to take heed unto it, but we must pray for them. And when we can, we must try to guide people to things that are good and righteous. And by doing this, we may save a few people. And a surety, we are going to be happier.
Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we have prayer service. Turn to number 156 for closing. Shall we stand? Thank you.